Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When was the last time any of you here were tempted to bow down to an idol or to serve any Lord but the one Lord, the one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? There are people in the world who do bow down before idols and who do worship different gods, what we call open idolatry. And they stand condemned for it. God says in the very first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." But I think I would truly be preaching to the choir if I would spend the sermon today preaching against open idolatry. Jesus, in today's gospel from Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't preach against open idolatry either. He does preach against what we call secret idolatry, and that is most definitely a great threat to all of us. He says, "No one can serve two lords, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon comes from a Hebrew word or an Aramaic word. It refers to earthly wealth or possessions or riches or really anything of value on this earth. It seems to come from a word whose root meaning is trust. And so in a play on words, Jesus describes mammon as something in which people trust. And that is what gives mammon the potential of being a person's secret god. Not that anyone takes out their wallet, puts it down, and bows down before it. Not that anyone thinks that mammon is actually alive or a god that can save. It does mean, though, that people end up putting their trust or their confidence in their earthly resources. And that, Jesus says, is the equivalent of idolatry. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. So which one will you serve? Since the Lord Christ would have you serve God and not mammon, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." What does worrying about bodily, earthly needs have to do with serving mammon? Well, it's a matter of trust or confidence. Either you trust in God to provide for your earthly needs, or you put your confidence in your own resources, your own possessions, your own ability to provide for yourself, or perhaps someone else's ability, the government's ability or willingness to provide for you. All of that is part of mammon. To trust in mammon is essentially to trust in yourself. But think about it. Mammon can't do anything for you. Mammon promises nothing. It doesn't love you or care for you or even acknowledge you. You have no power to acquire mammon, although you think you do. You work hard. You make plans. You store things away. You look out for your health. You can't make it rain, though. You can't keep your business open if the government comes in and decides on a whim to shut it down. You have no power to hold on to mammon either. It can be taken away in an instant by a thief, by a disease, by a tyrannical government, by heart attack, by wildfire, by accident. Oh, and God, the creator and ruler of all, can thwart all of your plans and all of your doings. So if you're trusting in mammon and serving mammon, which is really, again, relying on yourself and your own resources, to put bread on the table, then worry is actually a very reasonable state of mind to have. But if you serve God, if you rely on God who is your Father through faith in Christ Jesus, then why worry? Why worry about food? You have a Father in heaven who feeds the birds. The birds who don't worry about toiling or anxiously storing up for the future. Day by day, your Heavenly Father feeds them. And Jesus asks, are you not much more valuable than they? Doesn't your Father in heaven, who gave His own Son into death so that you could live with Him eternally in heaven, doesn't He care much more for you? Won't He make sure that you have what you need for today? So serve Him, not mammon. Because even if you serve mammon and spend your days worrying and toiling and storing up, Jesus asks, which of you, by worrying, can add a single foot to his height? It gets you nowhere. Whereas trusting in your Father gives you both peace and the assurance that He will provide your daily bread. The same goes for clothing. Your Father in heaven dresses the lilies of the field beautifully, without any labor or toil on their part. He does that for them, knowing full well how temporary the flowers are, knowing that they spring up for a moment and then are mown down, dried up, and withered away. Will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God has made you to live forever. He has purchased your eternal soul and body with the blood of His Son. Won't He make sure you have clothing to wear for the day? Of course, this applies to all of our bodily needs, which Jesus, in the same chapter of Matthew, teaches us to pray for under the title of daily bread. Luther, in the Small Catechism, gives lots of examples of daily bread and what's included in it. Everything that pertains to the needs and necessities of this life, such as food, drink, clothes, shoes, house, yard, land, animals, money, property, a godly spouse, godly children, godly servants, godly and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, trustworthy neighbors, and the like. I encourage you after the service today, if you have a chance, to slowly walk through that list and consider, who do you trust in to provide it? God or mammon? Your Heavenly Father or your own earthly devices? Notice the list includes godly and faithful rulers and good government. Now, if it doesn't seem at times like we have those things, what will you do about it? Will you serve mammon with worry, or will you serve God with trust? Will you look to mammon for help or to God, trusting in Him to provide what He knows we need right now, even as He often uses bad rulers to punish human societies for their wickedness and rebellion against Him? Notice the list also includes health. People worry themselves into a frenzy about their bodily health, including staying safe from COVID and its possible effects. But you have a Father in heaven who is the ruler over viruses, and over how our bodies function, over who becomes sick, and when, and how much. Don't you know that your Father will take care of you and will do what's right for you, whatever happens? Why worry about your health? Worry is done in service to mammon. But you don't serve mammon. You serve the eternal God. As Paul writes to the Romans, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And so Jesus says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles chase after all these things, And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How do we seek first God's kingdom? That too, Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer in the same chapter of Matthew. What is the very first petition of the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be thy name. How is this done? Luther answers, when God's word is taught purely and correctly, and when we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. How do we seek first God's kingdom? We pray in the second petition, thy kingdom come. How is this done? When the Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives, here in time and there in eternity. How do we seek first God's kingdom? We pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is this done? When God breaks and hinders every evil plan and will, like the will of the devil, the world, and our flesh, that would keep us from hallowing God's name and prevent His kingdom from coming. And when He strengthens and keeps us steadfast in His word and faith until the end. Only after seeking first God's kingdom, His name, His kingdom, and His will, do we then pray in the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. So we seek first God's kingdom in prayer by setting aside for a moment the earthly concerns that mammon might solve and turning our hearts to more important things. We also seek first His kingdom and His righteousness by seeking our righteousness not in ourselves but in Christ, given to us through His church, through the means of grace, as our first and highest priority. And we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness by living as blessed subjects of His kingdom as our first and highest concern. That doesn't mean you don't attend to the needs of this life. It doesn't mean, for example, that you don't go to work so that you can have money to buy food and clothing. But you don't trust in your work or sacrifice anything of the kingdom of God for the sake of your work. It doesn't mean you don't study for a career. But you don't trust in your studies or in your skill or college degrees or sacrifice anything of the kingdom of God for the sake of your studies. It doesn't mean that you don't save for retirement if you can, but you don't trust in your savings or your retirement account or sacrifice anything of the kingdom of God in order to keep gathering up mammon for it. It doesn't mean you don't vote in the elections or advocate for what is right, but you don't put your trust or confidence in princes, as we sang today in the gradual, or in the politicians, or in the judges, or sacrifice anything of the kingdom of God for the sake of a political agenda. It doesn't mean you don't care for the health of your body, but you don't trust in your healthy living or health precautions, or sacrifice anything of the kingdom of God for the sake of your bodily health. Why? Because in seeking first God's kingdom and His righteousness, Jesus promises, all these things will be added to you. All that you need for your body and life will be taken care of, not by mammon, not by you, but by your Father in heaven, who loves you, who adopted you as His child in holy baptism, and has devoted Himself to your salvation since before the beginning of time. Jesus concludes this portion of the Sermon on the Mount with this admonition. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. It is enough for each day to have its own trouble. That's hard for us who are weighed down by a sinful flesh. hard to focus on today only and to be satisfied with the help God provides today for today's troubles, without dwelling on what we'll need tomorrow and the day after, or how we'll get it. But when your flesh urges you to trust in mammon with worry, remember, you don't bow down to idols. You worship the one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you worship Him precisely because you know that He is real, and He is merciful, and He is faithful. All the things that mammon isn't. And if you know that, then you can rely on His help for today, and you can safely leave tomorrow in His capable hands. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.